on to the second inyan that's related to Bab Mechteres. Up until now, we've been discussing whether Bab Mechteres has been a ganav or a rotzech slash rodef, and number of nafkamina issues that related to that question. The second inyan, which is the second half of the Mishnah, which is just quickly read that inside. Hayah Bab Mechteres v'shaves achavis. If a guy, while he's tunneling through the house, he breaks something over, knocks a chavis over, im yesh lo damim, if he has a life to him, there's no death penalty on his head, like a father into a son's house, chayiv, he's obligated to pay money. If, however, im ein lo damim pater, if he has no blood, if he's considered a chiv misa, anybody else tunneling into another person's house, such a person has a death penalty, a chiv misa, and therefore any money he would pay, he's pater, because of the concept of kim lev d'rabim minei, and Rashi quotes the Gemara, that even chayiv shogin, chayiv misa shogin, you're pater. Meaning, even though there's no death penalty that's going to be instituted, there's no hasra, Rashi writes, still the fact that he did a misa that's related to a chiv misa, that misa, the chiv misa, will trump the misa of the chiv tashlumim. And therefore he's chayiv misa, yet pater in tashlumim. Now, kim lev d'rabim is a fascinating sugya, the Gemara and Ksubas, we're not going to get into. I'll just throw out there an issue for you guys to keep in mind. In general, two issues that come up with kim lev d'rabim, just for your own food for thought. How's kim lev d'rabim, what is the nature of this p'tur? Does it mean that based in, their hands are tied, that they're only allowed to give one punishment at a time, not two punishments, is it din based in? Or it's a din really in the Maisa Avera. When an individual is over Maisa Avera, do we say the Maisa Avera is really a Maisa Avera of the Chiyav Misa, the Maisa of, let's say, Chil Shabbos, but not a Maisa of, let's say, a Nezek? That each Maisa could only be defined in one way. And therefore we choose the greater punishment. Why is it a matter of based inside? I mean, the pasuk says Asher Yeshu, and it's a drush, the way it's formulated, the Gemara Ksuba is that based in is only allowed to give out one punishment, not two punishments. That's just the nature of the p'tur, to midin the based in. As opposed to not looking at the based in, more so by the person himself, the guy who's over the Maisa of Eros, that Maisa, you can only define the Maisa one way. If you do an action, you can either call it a Isser Shabbos, or you can call it an Isser Gneva, let's say. It can only be defined in one of two ways. There are nafkamina. I'm not remembering right now what the nafkamina are, but is it din in the mice or din in the basin? That's one issue to keep in mind. Second issue is when we say you're pater from the lower, the lesser punishment, let's say the mammon in this case, does that mean there's no chiv mammon at all? There's complete patur? Or no, there's a chiv mammon, it's just that you cannot implement it. But it still exists, and it may be able to come back to life in certain instances. Okay, not our issue, I'm just throwing out two issues to keep in mind. In general, probably when you learn the Gemara in Subis and elsewhere, two things to keep in mind. Now, our sugya is very confusing. The Gemara itself is very confusing. We're going to read through it. We don't usually spend so much time in the Gemara. We'll see how long it takes to go through. We'll read the Gemara, and this Gemara is extremely, extremely important Gemara for understanding the halachas of Gneva. Extremely Gemara. Almost every person who's an Achron Rishon is going to talk about the sugya of Gneva will refer to this Gemara as one of the starting points of understanding the nature of Hilchas Gneva and Gzela. So if we read the Gemara four lines down from the Mishnah, let's begin. Amar Rav. Rav says, Habab b'machtere, someone who goes through tunnels into someone's house, v'natel kalim, and he takes kalim along with him, v'yotza, and he leaves pater. He's pater from paying. Normally, obviously, a gazlan or a ganav who leaves a house with money has to pay back the money. If he's caught, he has to pay back kefil if he's a ganav. My time, and why is this particular person, the Bab b'machtere, why is he pater? My time, b'damim k'neneyu. With his blood, he was kona the object. And Rashi writes, "B'dmei nafsho kanon, with the blood of his nefesh, he was kona these objects. Hol b'nis chayv misa b'lekichasim. Since he was chayv misa through taking this object, it's a chiv mamon, a chiv misa coming together. The misa trumps the mamon. He's chayv misa and pater from the payment. Now the big question everyone asks, all the achronim ask here: what kind of kinyan is this?" Mashicha, Hagbah, Mesira. What is this? It's Kim Levit Rabbi Minei. He's pater from paying, but why does that allow him to be kona the object? If the object is still in existence, so return the object back to the owner. So that's the question we'll hopefully come to. Before again answering that question, though, comes along Rava and he qualifies Rav's statement. I'm a Rava. Mistavra Milsa Rava. It's logical that Rav's statement is limited to the following case. This is Shiver, when he breaks it. Lesnaya, when he broke the object, he took the object and they took the glass bottle. The glass bottle was fully intact. He left the Bab Machteris. He's no longer a Bab Machteris. He's walking on the street, and the glass cracks. Such a case, says Rava, he's potter from paying back. Aval not all, lo, if he takes the glass bottle and it's still intact, he doesn't have the ptur, meaning he's still chayv to pay back the glass bottle to the rightful owner, the Baal Bayis. Valokim, no, wait a second. Rava says to himself, that doesn't make sense. Because I just said before, Amar Rav, afilo notel. That Rav says explicitly, even if you take the object, he says, v'notel keilim v'yatsa pater. Even if the object is still intact, you still have a requirement. Sorry, you don't have a requirement, you're still pater from returning the object. What's the svar? What's the logic behind such a statement? So he tells you the svar. The Gemara says, Rav is still talking, d'ho yeshlo domim v'nensu chayiv. If a person has damim, a father who tunnels into his son's house, and he has damim, you can't kill him. And nensu, he has this object, and the object breaks now, accidentally, nothing to do with him. Some wind, strong wind came, it broke, he was nensu. He's still chayv to pay back the Baal Bayis. What's the din by a shomer? If I'm watching your object, and there's a pshia, what's the din if it's negligent? Is it pshia? Nope.
Shomer?
Yeah.
Really?
For pshia.
Oh, she's gotta be
back. He's chayv. But if nensu, sorry, I didn't mean to trick you there. But if he's ones, if it's a nensu, something happened out of his control, he wasn't negligent, he had complete shmira. If it's nensu, then he's chayv, sorry, then he's pater to pay the shomer. He's pater. Because when he's watching the object, the pikadon is not his. The shomer doesn't own the pikadon. He's just watching it for the rightful owner. But here in this case, Rashi Gemara tells us, nensu is chayv. Why is the Gan of Chayiv, isn't he just watching the object of the Baal Bayis? He wasn't really, empowered to be the Shomer, but he took the object, he's watching the object of the Baal Bayis. If Nensu, he should be Pater. Just like a Shomer's Pater of Nensu. So Gemara tells us he's Chayiv. Why is the Gan of Chayiv? Because the object is now the Gan of. The Gan of owns the object now. And he has a Chayiv to pay back, to pay back money, some Tashlum to the Baal Bayis. And even in Nensu, even if the object breaks, it broke for the Ganav. The Ganav lost out. The Chiv Tashum to pay back to the Baal Bayis still stands. It's still outstanding payment. It's still obligation to pay the Baal Bayis. That's if Yesh Lo Damim. But what we learn from this, the Gemara tells us, is Alma Brushu Seikhaimi. It's in the Rishus of the Ganav. The Ganav has Rishus of it. That's the Svar Bahan Rav. Hochanami Brushu Seikhaimi. So too, in a case of Ain lo damim, the idea is b'rishusei kaimi. It stands in the rishus of the ganav. So that's pshat in the Rava, in Rav. So again, Rav says, im noto kelim yatsa pater. Rava didn't like that, but then he says, no, Rav really does say that explicitly, so I'll tell you the reason behind it. He brings a raya that the ganav really owns it. It's a full kinyan that he owns. And therefore, even if he takes it fully intact, he's pater from returning.
I have totally different way of reading that Gemara.
Oh yeah? Was it a right reading?
It made sense the way I read it.
Okay.
That when it says brishusei, it means he's in the rishus of the Baal Bayis. And so if it's in the rishus of the Baal Bayis, what also happened in the rishus of the Baal Bayis is he was chayv misa. So there is kimah b'rav in it because you have to.
But yesh lo damim though, there's no chayv misa.
Right. I thought he was using that to show how. When a Ghana steals, it's still in the rishus of the Baal Bayis. That wouldn't make sense in that case, yeah.
Okay. So then Rava explains the svar of Rava, and then Rava doesn't like this svar at all. And he says, well, this svar is not really a good svar. Why? When the Torah gave the ownership in the hands of the Ganav, that was only in regards to the onsin, that if the onus happens to the Gneva, he's chayav to pay. But to really mamish, to make it a real kinyan is rishus, the Gemara, the Torah never went so far. It's not a real kinyan, writes Rava. It's no different than the shul. Shul doesn't have full ownership. The shul owns it to a certain extent, but it's not a full kinyan like someone who's lokeach from a mocher or someone who received the matam. So this is the Gemara, very confusing Gemara. Even the simple read is a little confusing, but hopefully we got that clear from the way I just read it now. So back to the question now is, first of all, where does the Ganav get the right to own this object? That's one. Two is, what's the Machlokas Rav and Rav? What are they arguing about? Rav says even if he's not tall, he's pater. And Rav says only if he's shavar, only if it breaks is he pater, but if he's not tall, he's chayv to pay back. And thirdly, let's look at Shitas Rashi for a second and Tosos and the Baal Mor. Rashi writes, Mistavra, when Rava tries to qualify Rav's statement, Mistavra milsa de Rav de Potter b'sheshavar. The only time he initially thinks Rav, this is Shitas Rava, he also thinks this is Shitas Rav though. Rav thinks you're Potter only when you break it. Bein achshav bein la'achazman. Whether he breaks it right now while in the machteres, or whether he breaks it even after leaving the machteres. Delisnayo, it's no longer in existence to return it. And he can't obligate the ganav to pay back money, because b'makom misa, in the place of a death penalty, you're not obligated to pay any money back. So the chiddush of Rashi is that whether he breaks it in the machteres, whether he breaks it outside the machteres, the ganav is pater. But if it's still be'en, it's still intact, then he has to return it. So the question, why? If Rava holds like Rav, there's a real kinyan here. So, whether it's intact or not intact, he should not have an obligation to return it. If he owns it, he walks out, it's his. If it breaks now, it breaks then, it doesn't break at all, it should be a kinyan across the board like Shitas Rav. What's Rav and Rava arguing about? Tosos says the same din as Rashi. He just asks an interesting question. He says, Tap Tosos, Mistavra Milsa de Rav Vishishivir. Im tomer my kamash malon tinyana v'shiver sachav es pater. What's Rava coming to teach you? Rava tells you, if you take out the object and still be'en, you return the object. If you break the object, you return it. Rava, I don't need you to tell me that. The Mishnah tells me that. The Mishnah says, im bav machteres v'shaver sachavis ein lo damim pater. Rava says the same exact thing. So Tosus tells us, no. Rava is being a chad something. Had you only had the Mishnah, Tosus tells us, imi masnisin hava amina shiver be'odo b'machteres. The Mishnah, you would have learned the following, that only while in the machteres, and it breaks in the machteres, you're potter. If, however, you take the object outside the machteres, and it breaks afterwards, you'll be chayiv to pay the money. Comes along Rava, Kamash Malon writes Tosus, Rav afilu b'shiver achakach, even after it breaks, even if it breaks afterwards, you're still potter from payment. Okay, that sheet this Rashi tells us, no matter where you break it, you're going to be potter from paying, whether it's an hour or later. You look at the Rambam and the Perush Mishnayos, however, and the Rambam also in the Yad Chazak and the end of Hilchos Geneva. Afterward, I saw one of the Achronim make this diak as well. I don't remember where I saw it. It says as follows. Habav machteres im shaver chavis be'es knisaso v'lo yesham edim she'oz dama mutter v'im shaver osa bitseso v'chvar panel aleches l'darcho she'ein mutter largo im yesham edim chayv d'mei chavis. What's he saying, the Rambam? He's being mechayv between es knisaso and es yitziyaso. If he's going into the machteres and he breaks something on the way in while he's a ganav, while he's above machteres, and there's a chiv misa, he's potter. V'eshi tiyaso, when he's leaving the house, and kal v'chomer, when he's actually outside of the house, he's chayiv to pay. So he argues on Rashi and Tosfos. Yeah.
We're only saying that he's potter because we have kimle, right?
Well, we haven't really understood why he's put there. That's confusing. We haven't gotten. We're just the question's still out there. We don't understand yet what's going on here.
Well, Rambam is the, if I remember correctly, was the only one that holds that the Abba Machteres is an actual Ghana. That's mm-hmm. why when he's outside, he says you have to.
I like the way you're thinking. Yeah. I'm not going to go in that direction. I do
Rashi,
like. Yeah.
Rashi and the rest of everyone says he's a real day. So when he's outside, he's still high of me. So that's why would he have to? He doesn't have to pay back.
So I like the way you're thinking a lot. We're going to hold off on that. We'll see if that will work in. You're trying to connect the previous sugya to this, which is great. Yeah, I think it's fantastic. Let's try to be, I think it's awesome what you're doing.
Yeah.
So we'll have to see if that connects. We're going to try to be, just try to think in this sugya independently right now, and then we'll see if it will connect to what we spoke about in the previous shittas. I think it's fantastic. I think it's great. I like that a lot.
You just said, who did we just say?
Yeah, Rama, the Perush Mishnayos. He says that only if it's broken in the machteres itself are you potter from paying. But if you take the object outside and then it breaks, you're chayiv. That's against Rashi and Tosos, who explicitly say no matter where you break it, you're going to be chayiv. So the question we have to know is, first of all, let's start with Shitas Rav. Where is the kinyan? Where's the chikinyan? why does the Gazlan have the right to keep this object? Even Afilu Natal, even if he takes it Ben? So that's why I had the Kovitz Shir. I'm not sure if everyone got to it yet, but I'll just read you guys what he says in Baba Kama. Now this opinion is said by so many Achronim, the Chassam Sofer writes this, and the Sivas writes this, the Kassos writes this, all over. It is a tremendous yesod you need for Hilchas Geneva. And what's the idea? I guess I'll tell you, I'll say it outside what it is. It's kedai for you guys to look inside tomorrow just to see. It's hard for me to just read line by line here, but take a look inside. The idea is as follows, though. There's something called Kinyone Gzela. Kinyone Gzela is that when a Gazan takes an object, somehow he has the right to keep an object. He is Kona that object. It is his object. However, there's a pasuk that says, Veheshiv es Gzela, you have to return the object. Had we not had that pasuk, though, there would mamish be a Kinyone Gzela. So if somehow we can neutralize the requirement to return, it falls back to being a Kinyan to the Gazlan. Here's what Rav Chanan writes in Baba Kama.
The pasuk's only saying that you have to give back the value or the actual item itself?
You're supposed to return the object itself, and if you can't return the object, it's no longer here, or it's broken, then you return money. So look what he says. So if Yisola Zed, this idea he speaks about the Kinyan Gzela, is Misugya de Sanhedrin Ayin Beis, Damarav. Our Sugya, this is the source, not a source in the Torah, but this is the Gemara, the basis in the Gemara, that such a concept exists. It says, what happens? The Bedomim Kinyaneu, he's Kone with Domim. Bekimle de Rabbi Binei, he's Kone. Eza Kinyan Yesh Bekimle de Rabbi Binei. What Kinyan exists? Kimle de Rabbi Binei is a Ptur Onesh. Either because Basin is restricted to only give one punishment at a time, or the mice, it could be defined only as one type of mice and not two. But to say that's a Kinyan? The Much Mizeh, he writes, we're forced to say, with no source, but it's forced to say, Kevin the Mishum, Kimle the Rabbi Mene, Mifta ben Hashava, HaGizela Niknes La Agazim. What Kimle does, Kimle neutralizes the obligation to pay back money. Normally speaking, the Ganav has to pay back the object or money in place of it. In this case, where the Ganav has a Chiyav Misa on his head, the Chiyav Misa now knocks out the Heshev Zegzela. There is no longer Heshev Zegzela, leaving over the Yisod, this idea of Kinyan Gzela. This is what Rav Chanan writes. That's all Shitas Rav. And that's why Rav says, even if Afilu Natal, even if you take it outside, you're Kona. Because there's no Chiyav HaShav anymore. There's always a Kinyan Gzela, and there's always a Heshev Zegzela to return that Gzela. But if you can neutralize the Heshev Gzela, like in the case of Kimle, where the Onish Mita exempts the Onish Tashlumim, then Mimele were left with the Kinyan Gzela. That's Shitas Rav. So then he says, what's Pshat? We don't pass like Rav. You look at all the Rishonim. All the Rishonim say we don't pass like Rav. We pass like Rava. Rava says, Im Natal, you chayv to return. Im Shavar, then you're Pater. He splits. I don't understand. If you're Kona the object, this is my object. So whether it's intact or whether it's broken, I should be Pater from returning the object. Rava makes this split. He says, if it's still intact, if it's still Ben, you return the object. If it's broken, you don't return it. Well, is it a Kinyan or is it not a Kinyan?
Well, did you acquire? Did you make a Kinyan on the broken object or not?
Well, Lechora, you're Kona.
And then it broke.
You're Kona when you're a Gozel.
Right, but was it broken when you were Gozel?
No.
It
broke afterwards. Oh, I forget that point even. Forget when it broke, actually, for now. If I'm coning the object in the Machteris, who cares whether it broke or didn't break?
Well,
it's mine.
You're not going to want to acquire a broken object.
Whatever it is, I'm saying, whether you want to or not, I stole the object. Let's say it's not broken. If I'm coning it, and it breaks afterwards, let's say, I'm potter from paying, according to Pashas, according to Rashas, I'm potter from paying. Why? Because I own the object. If I own the object, so when it's not broken, why do I have to return the object? Isn't the Heshevik Gzela already neutralized by the Chi of Misa? Yes, Shimi.
But I'm a little confused. I really understand what Rava is trying to say. If he's saying that there's a difference between breaking and not breaking, is he saying if it's not broken, returning it isn't an Onish, therefore there's Chi of Misa can't get...
You say if it's not broken...
If it's not broken, then returning an object, you're not losing anything because it was never your object. I'm saying if you didn't... You never had that object, so by giving it back, you're not losing it. There's no onish. That means that Chayav Misa can't override that.
You're saying, no, Rav Chanan says as follows. There is a kinyan when you steal the object. normally there's a requirement to return it, even though there's a kinyan, there's a special mitzvah or a chiyuv to return it.
Right, so, I mean, at least to me, that doesn't sound like it'll be an onish, because you're not...
If I own it...
Like,
no.
Okay, fine, but the only way you were able to own it was by taking it from the innocent guy. So, but if you broke it, then you have to, then already, you know, I mean, I was trying to think about it before. Let's say I have $0 in a bank account.
Mm-hmm.
By stealing this pen, and the pen still exists, never broke, I have to return the pen, I still have $0, I never lost any dollars in my bank account.
Mm-hmm.
By breaking this pen, I have to buy two new pens, or even if I have to buy one pen, regardless of the capability, I'm losing. That's the onus, it's not bad. It goes from zero to negative. So by being chayav misa, it overrides that, therefore you don't have to pay it back. But if it's never broken, you're not losing anything, there's no onus, therefore chayav misa.
No, but if you view it as part of your property now, it's one of your nechasim, you own this object, it's your pen now. So the fact that it requires you to return it, you are losing out.
So why can't you say that Kimlay is now, once he leaves Machtes, Kimlay is now dropping there for the Chiva, and she was a Gzila, put that into play.
I said that's part of the thing. So maybe the Chiva Shava, if they start splitting, well, then why when it breaks later on, are you potter from paying?
So it sounds like the whole argument, whether it's
like she knows Konel. I mean, I think that's more of a side point. I think that's more of the question than this. Then more misnomer to say that you would have to give it back after even though it's still intact, because the kimlay drops away, and because of the fact that you can say that maybe because the then you're going to say like why is it that I would have to that I'd be able to keep the broken one? So mm-hmm. You said that like Shinui's Kona something along those.
No,
lines.
You already have a kinyan. The kinyan shas exela. According to this. Don't get into the Shinai. It's part of a larger sugya, Shinai Konan, all that stuff. That's all the sugyas in Babakam. I'm trying to stay away.
Okay.
I hear where you're going with that. But, okay. Okay. So the question is again, why does Rava split up? If it's a real kinyan, if Rav has a real kinyan, why does Rava say if it's sechiv tash, if it breaks, you keep it. If it doesn't break, you don't keep it. It should be across the board. Anybody see the Baal Mor? Baal Mor is a wild shita. Baal Mor, in the Rif, daf yudayim and alf. If it made a kedai, we may not read it entire together since nobody will just do it. One big chavrusa, chaburi, we'll learn together since not everybody saw it inside. And we'll see a fascinating Baal Mor. It's not a very hard Baal Mor. The Machamos on the left is impossible. So, the Baal Mor writes, he says, first of all, Tema hu shelo hivi arif zal, behilchosav shmaisa derav, debab machter, so not till kelim yotzapote. I don't understand why the Rif left out the sugya. The Rif does not record this sugya lehalacha. I don't understand why not. It's clear if you read the rest of the Gemara, which we didn't read it inside here, that we pask in like Rava, and it should have brought lehalacha in the Rif. Why is it left out? When it's broken, you keep it. When it's not broken, you return it. And he says, if it's broken, what's the chiddush? It's a Mishnah. The Mishnah tells you if it's broken, you're potter. What's the Rava coming along to tell you? What's the chiddush? He quotes the Mishnah, Bob Machteres v'shavas achavas im ein lo domin potter. So what's the chiddush of Rava? So Yesh Lahash, if I can answer the following way, Imi Masnisin from the Mishnah have Amina Hani Mid Bishava Bimachteret Atzma Bishashin is Chai Misa. That's only true. You're potter when you get the when you break it during the tunneling itself. Like Tosa says, Aval Notel V'Yotza. If you take it fully intact and you leave the Machteret Shikvar Niftar Mina Misa, you're no longer Chayv Mishal Shiyotza Kirodef. Just like a rodef, shechazer milirodef achar nirdaf shenifta mimisa. The rodef is only chayiv, you only have to kill him when he's chasing the guy. Once he puts the knife down and stops, you can't kill him anymore. But machteres is the same thing. While he's going in, he's a chayiv misa and he's potter from any tashlumen. Once he leaves the machteres, so if he breaks it afterwards, he's not chayiv misa and mimela should be chayiv in the tashlumen. So he writes, we have a kalim be'enayu, if they're be'en, the kalim, have a hadri li marayu, you have to return to the rightful owner, ki shavar basar hachi, eshachich the hashtu de kagazilu. When he breaks it now, now he broke it, and now he's no chiyav misa once he left the b'machteres. I'll just give a couple lines. Kumash Milani writes, the shiny din rodef mi din gazlan. A rodef is different from a gazlan. The rodef mi chi asal yade kinenei b'demeha mihav shaisa. But Rodev, the second he takes it, he's a full kinyan. He's a full kinyan. What does that mean? Even though, according to Rava, if it's still be'en, you have to return it. What if it's a real kinyan, why do you have to return it at all? Right? It's about more. In other words, Rava agrees entirely to Rav that there's a full kinyan here. And you're right, mi'ikra din, even if it's be'en, there's no obligation to return it. So why does the Gemara say to return it? Chomer midirabanan. Chum instituted a chomer to return it. The knas for the Bam Machteris, we don't want the knas to be zochen or anything. So why does Rav think not to institute such a chomer midirabanan? So he goes on to explain that they're arguing about whether this is going to look like a misa v'mamon. Normally, a misa mamon, you get two punishments. We said kim levi d'rabim. Now you get the misa, you don't get the mamon. So Rav says, if you require the ganav to pay the bani back, it's going to look like a misa mishalim. We don't want people getting that impression because normally the din is just the misa, no mishalim. And Rav, for some reason, was not concerned with such a, I guess, marasayin of some sort. But meikra din, they both are in agreement that such a kinyan exists. Okay, that's a very narrow machlokas. Now the question is, though, for Baal Mor, is this a kinyan gzela that's taking place here? We just spoke about from Rav Chanan, there's a kinyan gzela here. Is the Baal Mor the same terms as the Rav Chanan?
What other kinyan can it be?
So look what he said. Again, this, the whole kinyan gzela is also a chiddush. What's the source of the kinyan gzela? Look at the line he says. Kamash Mlan de shiny din rodef me din gazlan. Anything? The shiny din rodef me din gazlan. It's not gazlan. It's a kinin rodef, not a kinin gazlan here. So it's a similar idea. That the Bob Machteris is cone of this object. Called, let's be mechadish the term now, kinyane rodef. A rodef, I guess the more, how can we explain this in terms of kinyanim? What's kinyanim? What, how does one show kinyanim? So just one of the approaches through haros bailus, showing one's ownership. So the more you could show your bailus over something, the more kinyan you have. So part of the, you know, Mashiach, Mesirah, Hagbah, all those things show that I have full right to the object. I pick it up, it's my object. Showing Haros Bailus, showing my Bailus over the object. So when it comes to Gzela and a Rodef, which one of the individuals show a stronger sense of Bailus? L'chora, the Rodef. The Rodef's not only coming to steal, he's coming to kill. He's showing like this whole house, everything in the house, the people in the house, the Nechas in the house, they're under my control.
Yeah, it's killing though, it's not stealing.
But the act itself is still more of an aggressive act. If Haros Bailus is about showing more control over things, so the road has stronger control, and therefore that's Kinyane Rodef, I would say. And the Kinyane Rodef has a full kinyan on this object and never has to return it. And now this plays out to what Shimon was getting to before, into our previous sugya. Is a Bab Machteris a Rodef, or is he a Gazlan? So the Baal Mor says they're two different things. You can't compare. You can't. Rav Chanan thought the Bav Machteris, you could use Bav Machteris as a source for Kinyan Gzela. Well, that's if you assume that Bav Machteris is a classic case of Gneva. According to the Baal Mor, they're different things. This is Rodef. Don't tell me Rodef and Gzela. He quotes this Gemara about, I don't want to get into it, but he quotes a Gemara in Baba Kama about a Gazan. At what point? What? Who? Baal Mor says Kirodef. Right, you're right. He compares it to a Rodef. It's like a Rodef, very good. You can't be as medayik in the Baal Mor as the Rama. You're right, it's a good point. But at the end, look what he said, the Kamash Man, he says, shiny din Rodef mi din Gazlan. He's categorizing Baal Machteris, let's say honestly, two categories. There's Rodef and there's Gazlan. Which one is it more like? Let's view it that way. So he's saying it's more like a Rodef. Even if you want to say Kirodef, it's more like a Rodef than it is like a Gazlan.
So why can't you say the same thing about the Rama that we said earlier on?
So, no, every time the word ki is being used, you have to raise the question, is it ki and they're equal or just like? So I wouldn't make a dig just the word ki. I made that dig in the Rama because it had other evidence as well. And that's a good point. It's a good question. But what comes out from the from Baal Mor is the Bob Machteris is a Rodef. He's a Rotech. He's not a Gazlan. You cannot compare the two sugyas. Rav Achanan thought you compare the two sugyas. Sanhedrin and all the other Achorim thought, oh, Sanhedrin, Bob Machteris is a sort of Kinyonic Zela. I'll tell you an interesting diak in the Rashi. I just thought of it right now. I saw the diak before, and now it's just talking. I think it came really to life here. When Rashi's explaining this din of Bob Machteris for Rav and Rava, and when the guy goes to the Machteris and he steals and he breaks something, here's a very strange line. When I first read it, I didn't know what he meant. And honestly, before I learned Ayin Beis Mabeis, I'll tell you what I thought. Habob Machteris, one line, Chaser es habayis mamsh. What does that mean?
Is Rashi reading?
Yeah. Chaser, one line, Chaser es habayis mamsh. He literally digged, tunneled through underneath the house. I thought when I read the Gemara, I'm hearts, I thought, oh, the only case of Bob Machteris is if someone tunnels through underneath the ground, that's a Rashi's mamish. I looked at the Rambam. The Rambam said, oh, Chatzero, Karfifo, Gago, everything. Oh, Machokas Rashi Rambam. Then I got the Gemara, Ayin Beis, Mabeis. Oh, the Gemara itself actually includes other cases. Ein li ela Machteris, Gago, Chatzero, Karfifo, every case, anytime there's a Ganov, he goes in, he's a din of Bob Machteris. So why is Rashi and Amon Aleph saying Chaser Sabayis Mamish? In the, you see Rashi Habob Machteris? Very small Rashi?
In the
Mishnah? No, on the Gemara.
About who get from other types of Geneva?
Exactly. Exactly. I mean, according to Rashi, I think Pshat is as follows. When someone's tunneling through the, going underground, the Gemara says later on also, when a guy's underground, Machteraso Zuhi Hasraso. When you're underneath, tunneling through someone's house, that is your warning. You have the death penalty. If you come into someone's house and you, the guy, I can't imagine how this is, but they had dirt floors and you're in your house and a guy comes from underneath. He mounts tunnels under in your house like from a cartoon. He comes from under your house. You're going to kill the guy. So the guy tunneling and knows
who's
the Baal Bais. Everyone knows. Right. Everyone knows. This is going to be a battle. So that's when you're going through Machtarasa. That's a real aggressive act. I mean, it's not aggressive, it's more of a sneaky act. But the guy, it's real...
It's more violent, it's more bound to be violent.
Exactly, more bound to be violent.
Rashi says, either you come to kill or to beat.
Exactly, but with Dafka through Machtarasa, it's a more, not aggressive, but it's more violent, it's bound to be more violent.
It's coming through a roof, you think? I think it's, if someone breaks through, it's also
I guess through the roof, through the tunneling underneath is a more sneaky act and catch by surprise.
There's a lot of chazaka that we only apply to Machteris.
I'm not sure if that chazaka, I think chazaka applies to every case though. I think so.
Yeah, was it like a, you know.
So what I think is going on here for Rashi is that it's possible for Rashi they're really two dunim. When the guy's chaser to buy his mamish going through the tunnel, that's where his mamish is a rodif. He's a rodif, he's a rotzeach. And that's when the Kinyane Rodef kick in, like the Baal Mor. And that's why even if it breaks afterwards, Rashi writes, and the Baal Mor writes his also, you're Konit Bishas the Gzela, because you're a Rodef, Kinyane Rodef. And it's possible the Ayin Beis Mabeis is not a Bob Machteris of the Rodef type, it's Bob Machteris of the Geneva type.
And such
not as strong, and will not necessarily create Kinyane Rodef. Maybe Kinyane Geneva, whatever that is, Kinyane Gzela. That's what I'm suggesting. I'm suggesting it's because of the Horaz Bailas, the authority that he's expressing. I think so. So what we come from so far, what we have is that the Achorim of Achanan, among other Achorim, use this Gemara as kinyan, the source of Kinyan. There's definitely a Kinyan going on here, that's for sure. There's definitely a Kinyan. But what is that Kinyan telling us? What type of Kinyan is it? Rav Achanan thinks it's a Kinyan Gzela, and therefore that's the source for all other Kinyan Gzela. I'm suggesting the reading in Baal Mor, at least, and perhaps Rashi as well, it's a Kinyan Rodef. And you can't use this as a source, as a basis for Kinyan Gzela necessarily. And it's taller, as Shimu was saying, to the previous sugya, is Bob Machteris a Ganav or is Bob Machteris a Rodef?
Most of them all say Rodef, except Rambam was the only one.
Exactly.
Usually, even Moshe Rodef, he even said Rodef, he's a kid.
Exactly.
Some...
Exactly. Right, so that's even true. All the Rishonim up, except for the Rambam, thought this was a Rodef, not a Gneva. How could you use this as a source of Gneva? So it's Sarachin, I guess. Now, I'll throw out there one more sheet. Do you have a question, Jeremy? Do you
hear? According to this Rashi above the Machtara,
yeah.
So that would, if you're Chadar Sabai's Mamish, so that would be a Rodif, or what are you trying to say?
So I'm suggesting, why did Rashi say Dafka Chadar Sabai's Mamish? We just learned that Ayin Bezim and Bez, if I go on someone's roof, go through the courtyard, you're also going to be above Machteres. What's the difference, Mamish? I'm suggesting, maybe when you're above Machteres, Mamish, it's a different type of Bab Machteres than going through the courtyard or through the gag. Bab Machteres through the Machteres, it's more of a, as Aaron was saying, maybe more of a bound to becoming violent. And therefore, it's more of a Rodef type of Bab Machteres. As opposed to the other entrances into the house would be just a ganav, an aggressive ganav, but not a rodef. And maybe when it comes to the Kenyan rodef, that's limited to the bab machteres dafka, the violence approach. That's Kenyani rodef. And that's a Rashi dafka in this sugya of Rav and Rava emphasizes bab machteres mamish.
Also, I mean, I think the only case where there can be kalim, where there's even a concept about kalim, is the case where you're actually mamish digging a...
No, I can go on the roof and chatzin knock someone's,
you jump down on the land.
It's glass table outside, picnic table.
No, on the roof, that's where they kept their bounds.
So even more so, you could break them.
But also, there's also a lot more mess you have to do when you're digging the hole. That's why it's a lot. That's why it's something more serious than the other three cases, because you're actually digging it a lot more.
You would think a guy who tunnels into someone's house is probably more of a professional.
Yes.
And therefore, the Baba is a little more scared and therefore wants to protect himself.
Knows that whatever he's, I don't think he would do that for just a random house. I think he knows what he's after. He knows there's something valuable.
Right.
No, but all houses are the same. But I mean,
why would he literally spend, it doesn't take 5.5 minutes, even 2 hours, it takes a long time
right.
to be tunneling.
Right.
You know?
So.
Like all those, oceans where they dig. Yeah. Okay, it takes a long time.
You know? Right, so it's the last few minutes. There's a lot more to be said about this, but I don't want to get involved in Baba Kama stuff, but just that yisod of Kinyani Gzela and the Tzarachin for the Baal Mor might be Kinyani Rodef is more appropriate. But I'll just say one other shita to explain this shita of Rav and Rava, or really shita that's Rashi in the Baal Mor. Why, if you break it afterwards, are you still Pater? Right, so up until now, we said based on Kinyani Rodef. That was the shita's Baal Mor. The son of Margolis Hayam quoted it, Shuvas Onig Yom Tov. Now it's a long sugya, long discussion. If you want to take a look there, but he says as follows: B'shas gzela, when the guy stole the object initially, there's a chiyav misa on his head because bab machteres you chayav to kill him. So that chiyav misa b'shas gzela was pater one from tashlumim. Shas gzela, the chiyav misa, the chiyav tashlumim of paying the object, chiyav misa trumped the chiyav tashlumim. Now there's a second moment later on when he breaks the object. So the Onig Yom Tov writes, Vashas the Tavra, when he breaks it, Nami Yefshar L'chayva, you cannot be Mechayiv in money, because this is a big Chiddush here. He's Mechayiv, there's still a Chiv Malkus now. What's a Chiv Malkus that exists now? When it's Chiv Malkus and Mammon, the Malkus override the Chiv Mammon. Where's the Chiv Malkus? So he says, Acharei Shebatel Ha'aseh Shel Ve'hishiv Zekzela. Normally, the lav is what's the punishment for a lav? Malchus. A lav anitek la'aseh, a lav that has the option of reversing it through an aseh. You could undo the lav by returning the object. In this case, v'heishvik zela, undo the lav. There's no malchus. The malchus is the punishment normally. In a lav anitek la'aseh, the punishment is the aseh, returning the object. But the question: what if you were mevatel the aseh? You can no longer return. It's no longer a lav anitek la'aseh. Just a lav. So you're left with simply a lav, which I believe is a discussion from Maramakov. Yeah, very good. So he writes that when the assay is batel, it's a lav now. A lav produces a chiv malchus. Now you have cases of a malchus b'makom tashlumim or tashlumim b'makom malchus. Mimela, you get malchus and not mamon. And that's why he's pater from paying even mshas. I'm sure, b'chiddush, l'oni gamtif, whether that's really true, whether vatel the assay, you get malchus for the lav or not. There's a longer piece, take a look there if you want. But that's the second answer. So again, there's a lot more to be said. I'm not going to say any more because I don't want to get too involved in Baba Kama. And tomorrow, Rav Lachman is giving shir in Baba Machteres. I don't know which Indian, the Indian we've been speaking to about up until now, or today's Indian, I'm not sure. And I assume regular time, 11:45. And then I guess I'll figure out what we're doing on Tuesday. We have to figure that out. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. For you. Yeah.